Remember, we went from that song that was so exciting, right? Da na na na, da na na na. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
We're going through the slumber of Lent, and I think the song has changed quite a bit. I don't know about you, but now it's like. Hava Nagila Hava Nagila Hava Nagila Mesmecha Hava Nena Nena Hava Nena Nena Hava Nena Nena Mesmecha. You remember that? All right. Let me translate for that for you because I think you'll need it. It says, let us rejoice and be glad. Right? Let us sing, awaken, brethren, with a cheerful heart, right? This is because there is something inside of us that knows that He is risen. And He is risen indeed. Now last Thursday, I always try in my mind to say Monday, but it's Maundy Thursday service. We engage in figuring out what this Maundy term was. And as you all know, these terms have not been easy for me. Coming from Latin America, they are new. For because every day of Holy Week is, guess what? It's holy, right? So we make it easy. It's Holy Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Holy Friday, Holy Saturday, and Holy Resurrection Day. Yeah. Now, the thing that I found on the internet, and you know the internet, everything is right over there. I'm just kidding. Is that the word Maundy has its roots in the Latin mandatum. It sounds good, right? Mandatum. It's mandate. It's a command. And we read that mandate on Thursday. You need to love one another. And they will, as the emphasis goes on the scripture, they will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. And what we have celebrated this week is Jesus Himself making sure that His disciples knew what that meant. He exemplified His love for them by washing their feet, by serving them the bread, by serving them the wine, by His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He took Peter and John and James to help them to pray, and He insisted to them that they should be vigilant, and that they were very vigilant. Right? But He continued to exemplify that love all throughout His passion and His death. And you know, we talked about Passover, and we talked about what that celebration was about, and what they celebrated when Jesus was around with them. That was a week-long celebration. It was a memorial mandate. A mandatum. Now I'm getting on a roll here, right? It was explained to them in Exodus chapter 12. This is what you need to do. But this time Jesus comes to the disciples doing this thing that was so familiar to them, but taking a new meaning. It went from God giving the mandate to the people to, listen well, God giving a new mandate with the people. You hear that? It went from that voice from heaven saying, this is what you need to do, and Moses telling that to the people, to God himself being present and sharing a new mandate with them. It went from giving a memorial mandate to exemplifying a memorial right there in their presence. And I don't know about you, but I would say, wow, wow. God himself present with his disciples and just sharing his heart with them. God took the role of teacher. The reason why he did that is because he needed to straighten out those traditions of man that have been twisted. I'm doing the Marco Rubio now. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Now, it wasn't a mere memorial that day. It was real. You know that Passover is pregnant with meaning. It's just full of memories and traditions for the Jewish people. The Paschal Lamb, as they called it, slain so that its blood could be covering their homes as safe havens. The unleavened bread that they called the bread of haste because they had to eat it quickly, because they were getting ready to be freed. And then the wine, the fruit of the vine, the bitter herbs that they had to eat to remind them of their times in slavery. All that significance, all the things that were part of the Hebrew culture, and it was part of how they saw God. Now Peter, bless his heart, he had been advised that there's something coming where he would deny the Lord. And in typical form, he denies the denial, right? No, I can do it. I can do it, Lord. Don't worry about it. I'll give my life before anything. Or so he thought. I was talking with Chuck after our Maundy Thursday's service, and he shared with me what he felt about Peter, right? And that Peter needed to be broken in all those areas, and how he that brokenness will lead to a reforming, a reshaping in his life. And when I agreed with him and said that in a way we all needed to be broken, he says, yes, brother, you should need to. Not me. He was joking, of course. Well, I hope he is. But I admit it. There's so many areas in my life where I need to be broken. That's what happened to Peter. And when we fast forward a little bit more, and we see the scene that we have read in our passage, we see a Peter that is still in that process. That's still being reshaped and being reformed. At that time, he had been already in ministry for some time. He had a few sermons under his belt. He had many conversions that had happened, and there were many healings. There were miracles. And he had a better understanding of his role in the mission of the church. I think that Peter was getting it, right? He was getting it. But still, he's not done yet. There was a certain exclusivism ingrained in him by the culture, and his understanding of what society should be like. And he thought that he and the Jewish people were the center of the world, and in many ways he was right. But still relying on those old tapes. It was playing in his head. Now Jesus needed him to get with the program, right? Jesus needed him to realize that now he lived in a digital world. Hello? That was the wave of the present and the future. He didn't need a boombox anymore, right? He could stream audio. Some of you are getting me, right?
Yes.
But you know where that audio was coming, man? It was from the heavenly cloud. Now, you've heard about the cloud, right? Okay. All right, I'm just checking. The interesting part about that is that that cloud didn't need any hardware whatsoever. You know that the cloud is no such thing, right? It's actually a bunch of computers. They need a lot of power. But this cloud was the source of power itself. And you see, that's what happened. This digital file that comes to him in a trance as he waits for dinner to be prepared is now something that doesn't come from the boombox. You'll know the story, right? He was waiting for lunch and there comes a vision on this plate worth of all the foods that he would never touch comes down from heaven, and God himself tells him, eat. He says, I'll never touch that stuff. But God, of course, says, don't say that that stuff is bad when I have blessed it. And then he finds himself in front of Cornelius, the centurion, and it states, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. I don't know. People, please. I don't know if you get this. But this is a guy walking with Jesus for 3 years, okay? He had the teacher himself right there. And then he'd been practicing ministry for a while. But he still did not understand. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. I wonder if that's what happens with us sometimes. That sometimes we are just inundated by these old tapes. And sometimes these old tapes play in our heads so much that we think that we got it done. That we are the ones that can figure it out. That we can be self-sufficient in God. I don't need the church. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
I'm spiritual. I really do know that God is true. This is Peter. That's why I call him the unlikely witness. The one who had denied Jesus 3 times after promising that he would die first. He now is sharing with them from the cloud of his experiences. He's not sharing from his old tapes anymore. I truly understand. So he testifies with what is called, right, Ruth? A sermonette. She taught me that. a sermonette of his eyewitness, of his experience, and from the revelation that he had received, that Jesus of Nazareth had reached, teached, taught, that's correct, and served during his time on the earth, and being put to death by hanging on the tree, God raised him from the dead. And that he had appeared to them and commanded them to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. Now, that sounds very simple, right? It's a story that we all know. Jesus was pointed out by God directly. This is my son. You remember that?
Yeah.
This is my son. Now, to support the fact that this was not a revelation by indigestion, you know what I mean? And to emphasize that Peter doesn't have the Jesus business covered, he also tells that all the prophets testified about him. So see what he's saying? He says, this is not just because I'm here. This is nothing new. All the ones that have come from before, they've talked about these issues. You see, the prophets are also unlikely witnesses, given the fact that they never knew Jesus in person while they were alive. But they said the things that were revealed to them about Christ. Now, this is text that is really familiar to you. In Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfectioner of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us set aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Now, you and I are not eyewitnesses either. But we rely on this heavenly cloud of witnesses. We rely on something that goes beyond what you and I have seen. These witnesses reveal these things to us so that then we can then reach, teach, and come on. You got it. So that we can love one another. Both inside and outside the congregation. But nevertheless, we are also our own witnesses. Because we have seen God's work. Anybody? Anybody? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you experienced God's word? Have you experienced that? Whether it is in our lives or in somebody else, we have seen wonders. We have seen things that are very bad too. We were talking about all those things that are happening out there in Europe and in the Middle East. But we have seen God's work, and even if we haven't seen it, God is still God. It doesn't take away from the fact that God is active in people's lives daily. Now, some may be saying, well, we didn't hear a resurrection sermon today. Right?
Really?
Yeah, well, there was no angel, right? We didn't talk about Mary and the other Mary coming to the tomb. Maybe you didn't hear the so-called Easter Sunday story today, but I like to challenge you in this way. I would like to challenge you to think of each one of our lives as part of the resurrection story. If it wasn't for Jesus being risen, Peter would not have preached to the 3,000 plus on Pentecost, right? If it wasn't because of his resurrection, he wouldn't have been there to give that such impactful sermonette to Cornelius. Let me tell you the effect it had. Cornelius and all his house were changed that day. If it wasn't for Christ coming back to life, Paul would not have received the revelation that he got and the inspiration to write all these theological treatises and all these letters that we have in Scripture. And if Jesus had not come back to life, you and I would not have life everlasting.
Amen.
He would not be the source of our salvation, but he did. So it is their story, right? It is their story. Remember, Peter says he revealed to himself after his resurrection to us who were chosen, us. Not to everybody. Anybody seen the movie Risen yet? No, I recommend that you do. It's not to everybody. But this is the narrative of salvation that comes to us in the cloud through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. Now, that is the real reason why every day is holy. Every day. Not only during Holy Week. And that's why we rejoice today. That's why we bring the spirit of joy to the table. And when we say hallelujah or he is risen, we are saying we know. We know. We know that he is alive. And many people say, but why? If there's all these things that are unknown. Hey, there's a lot of things that I don't know, but I know something. I know something. And this is not only because Peter told Cornelius, but it's because I have experienced that in my life. Now, if you don't have that personal experience of salvation in your life, I want to tell you that God is still active in his revelation to humanity. God is still doing that. God is still reaching. He's still teaching. He's still serving us in so many ways. God is still calling. And he's still presenting his son as the one who he is pleased with. The one who was present more than 2,000 years ago and still present today. And he's still transforming. He's still reforming lives. He's still providing hope for the weary in the journey of life and the journey of faith. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know this man who loved us? And he showed us so much love that he said, now go and love one another. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being alive. Thank you for providing for us a reason to rejoice. Thank you for providing a memorial in our hearts. A memorial that is not just a ritual, that is not something that is external, but that is an internal rejoicing of love because you have saved us. Thank you for that sacrifice, a perfect one, the one that will cover all of our sins. And as Hebrews says, Lord, we pray that we may be able to set aside all that weight and all that sin that clings to us, all that stuff that tries to get at us and to weigh us down, and just see you and acknowledge you as the one who has done it for us. You are our all in all. In Jesus we pray. Amen.